to scare or chase the beast, so that wild dog and wolf and boar and bear came night and day and rooted in the fields and wallowed in the gardens of the king. And King Leodogran groaned for the Roman legions here again and Caesar's eagle. Then his brother king, Urien, assailed him. Last, a heathen horde, reddening the sun with smoke and earth with blood, and on the spike that split the mother's heart, spitting the child, break on him till, amazed, he knew not whither he should turn for aid. But, for he heard of Arthur newly crowned, the king sent to him, saying,
"Arise and help us thou, for here between the man and beast we die."
And Arthur yet had done no deed of arms, but heard the call and came, and Guinevere stood by the castle walls to watch him pass. But since he neither wore on helm or shield the golden symbol of his kinglihood, but rode a simple knight among his knights, and many of these in richer arms than he, she saw him not, or marked not if she saw, one among many, though his face was bare. But Arthur, looking downward as he passed, felt the light of her eyes into his life smite on the sudden, yet rode on and pitched his tents beside the forest. Then he drave the heathen, after slew the beast and felled the forest, letting in the sun, and made broad pathways for the hunter and the knight, and so returned. For while he lingered there, a doubt that ever smouldered in the hearts of those great lords and barons of his realm flashed forth and into war, for most of these, colleaguing with a score of petty kings, made head against him, crying,
"Who is he that he should rule us?
Who hath proven him King Uther's son?
For lo, we look at him and find nor face, nor bearing, limbs, nor voice, are like to those of Uther whom we knew.
This is the son of Gorlois, not the king.
This is the son of Anton, not the king."
And Arthur, passing thence to battle, felt travail and throes and agonies of the life, desiring to be joined with Guinevere, and thinking as he rode,
"Her father said that there between the man and beast they die. Shall I not lift her from this land of beasts up to my throne, and side by side with me? What happiness to reign a lonely king, vexed, O ye stars that shudder over me, O earth that soundest hollow under me, vexed with waste dreams. For saving I be joined to her that is the fairest under heaven, I seem as nothing in the mighty world, and cannot will my will, nor work my work wholly, nor make myself in mine own realm victor and lord. But were I joined with her, then might we live together as one life, and reigning with one will in everything, have power on this dark land to lighten it, and power on this dead world to make it live."
Thereafter, as he speaks who tells the tale, when Arthur reached a field of battle, bright with pitched pavilions of his foe, the world was all so clear about him that he saw the smallest rock far on the faintest hill, and even in high day, the morning star. So when the king had set his banner broad, at once from either side, with trumpet blast and shouts and clarions shrilling into blood, the long-lanced battle let their horses run. And now the barons and the kings prevailed, and now the king, as here and there that war went swaying. But the powers who walk the world made lightnings and great thunders over him, and dazed all eyes, till Arthur, by main might, and mightier of his hands with every blow, and leading all his knighthood, through the kings, Carados, Urien, Cradlemont of Wales, Claudius, and Clarience of Northumberland, the king Brandagoras of Latangor, with Anguisant of Erin, Morganore, and Lot of Orkney. Then, before a voice as dreadful as the shout of one who sees to one who sins and deems himself